Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. We are excited that you have joined us for this morning's message. Today, our lesson comes from 1 Kings, chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, and chapter 3, verses 3 through 14, which is the story of how young King Solomon was given the gift of wisdom by God. Wisdom. True wisdom is a much sought-after commodity even in today's world. Wisdom is something we all value and hope to possess. Intelligence is also something we value greatly. We hold smart people in high esteem. People who do research, solve problems, work for world peace, and find new cures for our diseases. Yes, we value smart people. Well, not as much as we value professional athletes, but still, we do like them quite a bit. If I asked you who was the smartest person that ever lived, who would come to mind first? Whose name is just synonymous with being exceptionally intelligent and wise? When we want to chide someone when they struggle to figure out a problem that seems obvious to us, what might we say? Well, you don't have to be a Thomas Edison to figure that out. Or, you don't have to be a Bill Gates to figure that out. No, we say, well, you don't have to be an Einstein to figure that out. Right? For many, perhaps with the exception of King Solomon, Albert Einstein was the smartest person that has ever lived. When I grew up, Einstein was the nickname often given to the class geek. You know, that kid who got good grades, was just a little smarter than most everyone else in class, who usually did not dress very fashionably, was a bit socially awkward, and was certainly not part of the cool crowd. Albert Einstein was smart, no question about it. His theories about the photoelectric effect, physics, cosmology, the effects of gravity on time and space changed our world and the way we think about our universe. In 1905, at the young age of 26, he published three groundbreaking papers that provided the foundation for much of modern science, especially in the fields of cosmology, astrophysics, and quantum physics. Einstein's first theory was on the motion of particles suspended in liquid. The second was on the photoelectric effect, which is what happens when light shines on metal, which causes the release of electrons. The third, and most famous, was the special theory of relativity, which turned the scientific world of cosmology on its ear. Einstein's theories on light, mass, energy, gravity, and how they interact would completely change our view of the universe and how we understand the relationship between mass and energy and their effects on even the shape of space. Gravity could no longer be thought of as merely a force. His formulas showed that massive objects actually cause space to bend or curve around it. This theory stated that time is not a constant, and neither is weight or mass. These are all relative to the speed at which one travels through space in relationship to the speed of light. From this theory comes many of the ideas that we now see depicted in our science fiction movies. Things like time travel, black holes, wormholes, time warps, and space travel that does not take centuries to reach even the closest stars and planets to us. Einstein's work in that year also led to a number of new discoveries, some of which are the X-ray, DNA, the photoelectric effect, vacuum tubes, transistors, and the building blocks of the information age. His work would also eventually produce one of the most famous mathematical equations of all time, E=mc². But much to Einstein's regret, it would also lay the framework for the invention of the first atomic bomb. Although he was a bomb supporter before World War II, Einstein later regretted his contribution when he saw how it was used. When the first bomb was dropped on the city of Hiroshima, the first words that came out of his mouth were, "Weh ist mir," or "Woe is me." When the U.S. government decided to use this new weapon, he saw firsthand how his genius was being used to commit what he felt was a great evil. Isn't that also our response as well? When we believe our work is misused by others and turns out to not be very wise, when the plans we have carefully laid down just result in hurting someone else or putting our own foolishness on display, especially in today's world with all the fake news that is out there, the constant attempts by scammers using the phone or a computer to try and get hold of our personal information, it is essential for us to have a discerning mind and for us to understand that human wisdom can be used for both good or evil. For instance, experiments on stem cells derived from human embryos may unlock new clues for diseases that afflict us, but they may also undermine the dignity of human life. Advances in computer technology and communication create amazing tools for education and business, but they also bring up many heated discussions on data mining and blur the lines on First Amendment rights and the loss of personal privacy. Just think about the debate taking place right now in regard to Facebook and its use of personal data that it collects. How do we determine whether our actions are going to lead to good or evil? In our text for today, Solomon assumes the throne of his father, David. At this point, he must decide what kind of leader that he is going to be for his people. He knows well that royal power can be used either for good or for great evil. This was something he learned by watching his father, who demonstrated his ability to do both. Displaying his wisdom at a young age, Solomon first goes to the high places to offer sacrifices to God, seeking God's advice and blessing. When God asks Solomon what he wants him to give him, he does not ask for wealth, long life, or victory over his enemies. He asks God for wisdom. He asks for a wise and discerning mind so that he might govern his people justly. Because of Solomon's integrity and the unselfishness of his request, God not only gives him wisdom, but throws in all of the other things that are mentioned here as well. Could there be a principle here? The lesson for us might be that if we pursue knowledge, wisdom, and a discerning mind, then all of these other things are more likely to come to us as well. So how can we also exercise this kind of wisdom? First, we need to understand that wisdom involves the heart as well as the head. This is not an admonishment against education and the pursuit of knowledge. Rather, it is how we choose to use the knowledge we have gained. We must also learn that knowledge acquired is not necessarily wisdom dispensed. Wisdom is not merely an intellectual exercise. This Einstein learned when one of his greatest achievements was used to make the most horrifying weapon of mass destruction ever created. Solomon demonstrates quickly that wisdom is just as much an act of the heart as it is an intellectual exercise. Take the case of the two prostitutes who are brought before him to judge, to settle a dispute that has arisen between them, to which one is a baby's true mother. If you are unfamiliar with this story, it goes like this. There were once two women who were both new mothers. They both had sons and lived in the same household. During the night, one mother rolled over on her infant son in her sleep and smothered him. Seeing what had happened, In her anguish, she took her dead son and put him in the arms of the other mother while they slept. Then she took the other woman's baby to her own bed. When morning came, the mother of the live baby found the dead baby in her bed and thought it was her own. But as the sun's light grew bright, she saw that it was not her son, but rather the other woman's son. With both women now claiming to be the living baby's mother, these two women now came before King Solomon, who must now find a way to determine which woman was making the false claim and which woman was the baby's real mother. So after listening to the claims of both women, Solomon asked that a sword be brought to him. Knowing the compassion that a mother has for her child, he says that since the baby's real mother cannot be determined, the baby should be divided into two parts and give half to each woman. Can't you feel the tension in the room? The mother who lost her son and tried to claim the other woman's baby is satisfied to hear that if she cannot have this baby, then neither of them will have it. But the baby's real mother is horrified at the thought of her son being killed. She responds by saying something like, "Please, give him to this other woman if you must, but let him live." Now Solomon has no doubt as to the baby's real mother, for it is the woman who would do anything to protect his life. Frederick Bauckner once said that wisdom is a matter not only of the mind, but also of the intuition and heart. A wise person is concerned about keeping God's commandments. Wisdom walks in the light and does not hide in the darkness. Wise people do not agonize over issues of honesty, integrity, faithfulness, love, trust, greed, envy, slander, gossip, and so on. Their decision is clear because of God's commandments. They just strive to do what is right and just in all things. Wisdom is how the law and the prophets could be condensed down into just two simple rules. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, "Keep these, and you abide by all the law and the prophets." There is nothing anti-intellectual in the teachings of Jesus Christ or the Bible. The principles of Scripture should be applied to everything in our lives. When we think about all the new discoveries and technologies that continue to shape our world and influence our culture, we should heed the warnings of Scripture. If we cannot use these new technologies in ways that will enable us to abide by these two simple rules, then perhaps we need to find another way. Great minds have always sensed this, whether it be the kings of Israel or winners of Nobel Prizes. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once quipped, "Our age is one of guided missiles and misguided men." Einstein himself once said, "It has become appallingly obvious that our technology has exceeded our humanity." He also said that we should take care not to make the intellect our God. It has, of course, powerful muscles, but no personality. Concern for man and his fate must always form the chief interest of all technical endeavors. Never forget this in the midst of your diagrams and equations. True wisdom requires not only an intellectual mind, but also a loving heart and a concern for living one's life in a way that pleases God. It requires of us compassion for our neighbor and a concern for how all of these things will affect our relationship with God. Like Solomon, may God also awaken in us a desire for wisdom and understanding to seek justice, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.